another international weekend to preview, so Alex is sunning himself somewhere while DK and Lee Phelps man the fort. Derek McGovern's back to give us his unique take on the world, and our EFL trio have three best bets. England's match with Montenegro is where we start, so DK, Lee, it's all yours.
Thank you, Emma. A warm welcome along to the international edition of The Punt. It's good to have Lee Phelps back in the studio with me. What are you doing back so soon?
Well, they just keep bringing me back for the internationals. World class. No one else wants to do it. It's one of those two things. I'm not quite sure. Why is Alex off all the time?
Yeah, I was saying off air that I'm looking forward to the Premier League next weekend, but you were saying that there's four decent, half-decent games to have a go at.
Yeah, three, I'd probably say, for the home nations. But, yeah, we've picked out some interesting bets. There's some of these games have got something on them. So I think it's interesting. You know, the Wales game, obviously. You look at Northern Ireland against Holland. So, and we've got this one coming up now. England versus Montenegro.
Should be a fascinating game because of what's happened off the pitch, really. Yeah. England are 1-20 to win the match. The draw 11-1, Montenegro 35-1. Loads of enhancements on the William Hill website and on the app. If you fancy Harry Kane to score first, which many people will, that's been boosted 15-8 out to 9-4. Marcus Rashford to get two or more is now 4-1 from 100-30. And England to win by five or more goals, which isn't inconceivable.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. We're going to start, though, by talking about Raheem Sterling and Joe Gomez. Raheem Sterling left out of the squad. How do you think Gareth Southgate's handled the incident? Because he's brought it to the public's consciousness, hasn't he, to a certain extent? And listen, I've never been in a professional footballing dressing room, so I don't know how these things work. But from what I've read from ex-players, these things happen all the time, and many people think it should have been handled internally.
What goes on within the club should stay in the club. But I guess the thing is with the media these days and with social media that it's probably going to sneak out somewhere. And I guess Gareth Southgate's thought, well, I may as well confront this head on, get it dealt with, it's done, early on in the week. It's a little bit naive because these things don't just blow over. It's going to rumble on and rumble on and rumble on. If England don't get the result, people go, why didn't you play Sterling? What would you do, DK? What would you do? You know, would you just keep it and not let the media know? How would you explain Sterling not playing?
Yeah, I'd have just said it's a sickness bug or he needs resting. That sort of thing. I would have. I'd have just said, like, Sterling's not fit and ready to play this week. And Sterling would have handled it like a man. And the thing is, the weird thing is that on Sunday night after the Liverpool City game, it all seemed fine and it had blown over. I think what happened on social media was there were memes and GIFs coming out of Joe Gomez chest bumping Raheem Sterling falling down. And I think he's got a little bit of a little man syndrome, hasn't he?
Well, this is I'm a big boxing fan. This is kind of welterweight versus super middleweight. This is Ricky Hatton versus Carl Froch. So he wouldn't have a chance against Joe Gomez. I think there's at least 10 kilograms between them. There's a good few inches between them, obviously, in height as well. So he's got no chance. I mean, he's brave. Brave of him, but I think Sterling's probably learned his lesson.
He's still smiling anyway, Southgate. Yeah. And he should be, because England have been serene in this qualification process. They're going to win the group easily.
Yeah.
They're going to beat Montenegro easily as well. Montenegro winless in their last nine internationals. Yeah. Harry Kane is one to look at, I think, in the betting markets.
Yeah, you've got to look at him. You've just got to have him in your bets. Whether you're backing him on an outright situation in terms of him scoring first goal, two or more, hat-trick.
Yep.
Scored a hat-trick in his last game at Wembley, of course. To do that back-to-back would be some feat. The only danger with a hat-trick bet is if they're well ahead, three up at half-time, for instance, which I think could happen, then they may well bring him off. Maybe bring Abraham on or something like that. So, just be careful on, how many, you're going for in terms of the number of goals he gets, but he has to be involved. Look at the enhanced odds. There'll be Kane's involved, as you mentioned. There'll be more bets on the day. Check out flash odds.
Yeah.
You want to have Kane in your bet somehow, don't you? I think that's a fair enough. I mean, it's interesting to think who will play alongside him with Sterling. Because you look at Kane's record in the qualifiers. He's scored in every single Euro 2020 qualifier. Amazing record. But Sterling has scored in all but one of those. And that was the defeat away. So who plays alongside him? It's going to be interesting. Rashford obviously plays. It'll be interesting to see who else goes up there. I think Sancho will probably get the nod. I think England win easily. And I think Kane gets on the score sheet at least once, if not two.
For him to score two or more, it's 17-10. For him to get the hat-trick, it's 6-1. If you're looking at Marcus Rashford, who's in fine form for club now, for him to score first, it's 3-1. For him to score two or more, it's available at 100-30. I think England are going to win this game. I'm looking at Kane to score two or more in the match. What's your bet in the game?
Well, I've got a few. I've got a few bets that I like here. And there's some quirky ones here, so just bear with me a second. England do score lots of goals in the first half. Over 1.5 goals in the first half is a bet that I really like. That's around the 6-5 mark, which is decent, I think.
Yep.
Another one, this is quirky. Vladimir Jovovich, striker, plays in the Czech League. 4 yellow cards already domestically this season. He's got 2 for his country, both away from home. He's 5-2 to be booked in the match, which I like. That's under your bookings tab. And how about this one, DK? You'll like this. Look down England's home games, only 3 of them. 2 own goals out of 3 home games. We know the way they play. Lots of balls being whipped in. Own goal, any time in the match, 9-2. It doesn't even have to be England. But, you know, I think
how long do I have to look on the website to find that market?
Score right at the bottom of the scorers tab, and you'll find it. I think it's an absolute belter. I think it's a nice bet.
I think
England is going to score 3, 4, 5. So I think, you know, it's a bit of a quirky one. 9-2. I saw the price and thought, do you know what? It's happened 2 out of 3 so far at home. I quite like that one.
Look at all the offers ahead of this game. I fancy Kane to score 2 or more in the match. That's going to be my bet. What's your bet in the match?
Yeah, I do like that. I must admit, I like overs and the goals. If you're looking for a bet to get a bit more value out of the game, I'd be looking at the specials around overs and the goals. I'd go overs and the cards as well if you can find a special around that. But you're right. Anything involving England winning well, I'd be looking at -3 on the handicap. But Kane has to be the bet for me. He's the talisman, scored in every single qualifier that England have played for the Euro 2020 tournament.
Yep.
Scores hat-trick, scores 2 or more. I'm not going to go for the hat-trick, but I think Kane to score 2 or more is the best bet to get a bit of value out of this game.
Okay, we know Derek McGovern loves international football. Let's hear from him, his bit this week.
The Euro qualifiers have been overshadowed by the news that Raheem Sterling tried to grab teammate Joe Gomez by the throat in the England canteen. Who the hell put a stepladder there? Sterling admitted he lost control, but we shouldn't have been surprised. On Sunday, he spent 90 minutes at Anfield doing the same. Sterling obviously reacted badly to the result at Anfield. In fact, I heard it fell 2 cents against the dollar. England boss Gareth Southgate has dropped Sterling for Thursday's Montenegro game. That's the bad news for him. But he'll be available for Sunday's trip to Kosovo. That's the worst news. The fixture against Montenegro will be England's 1,000th game this season, I think. And of that 1,000, only 3 have been worth watching. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of scientists. No matter how bad you think Montenegro are, they're worse. They're known as the Scotland of the Balkans, at least in my house. And there can only be one possible result at Wembley on Thursday. I will tell you what it is around 10 p.m. on Thursday. On the handicap, England are 6-4 at -3, but I hardly think it's going to be that cold, except maybe in the England canteen. On the same night, Iceland are in Turkey, and that's a surprise. Normally it's the other way around. I bring this up because Iceland are 18-5. Just thought you should know. On Saturday, Wales are in Azerbaijan, the kind of fixture Eurosport was invented for, and Scotland are in Cyprus, the kind of fixture Scotland was invented for. Wales warmed up for their match by watching former Oasis frontman Liam Gallagher in Cardiff, and on Saturday they're hoping they won't look Baku in anger. Being Scotland boss is not an easy job at the best of times, and if you're Scotland boss, it's never the best of times. Steve Clarke has got Scottish fans yearning for the good old days of Craig Levein. Cyprus are above Scotland in the group table and are at home, yet the Scots are favourites. It's pointless trying to work out why. You can't. Instead, work out your winnings after backing the Cypriots at 2-1.
Cyprus then, Derek's best bet this week. Anytime he gets the chance to stick the boots into the Scots, he takes it, doesn't he?
Ah, it's unbelievable. There's some good lines in there, to be fair.
Some good lines
in there. The Turkey-Iceland one, that's particularly good. Like it.
2-1 they are, Cyprus, to win this game. The draw 21-10 with Scotland 29-20. Full range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app. You can build a Your Odds bet as well on there. I can see where Derek's coming from here as well, because Scotland have won all 6 of their meetings previously against Cyprus, but got some major injury concerns. They're missing Ryan Fraser, Scott McTominay, Andrew Robertson. The captain's out as well. So they come into this slightly depleted Scotland.
Yeah, and that's as we record. I mean, we always put a thing up saying, you know, price is correct. This could be Scotland's team. Pullouts are correct. It's really interesting. I was reading a piece from the assistant head coach, Alex Dyer, and he was at pains. It sounds like he maybe doesn't do that many of the press conferences, from what I can tell.
Is
it pains to say, no, they're all genuine injuries? And when they said to him, what injuries are they? He was like, well, yeah, I'm not really sure what injuries are. And then he said, at the end of the piece, he said, I mean, we want to concentrate on the players who are here and who do want to play. He's kind of implying, isn't he, that these lads are just kind of staying home for a bit.
We know they've got a few niggles, and we know they can't qualify conventionally now, Scotland. Yeah. They're going to have to go through because they won the Nations League. True. And that was always going to be my concern with Scotland coming into this qualification campaign, because they had that to fall back on.
Yeah.
I wondered whether they were going to be the players were going to be fully focused, and now that they can't qualify... Some of these players have got a ready-made excuse, haven't they?
Yeah, but it's a nice trip out to Cyprus, isn't it? The weather will be decent. You know, of trips to go on, you know, at this time of year, it's not a bad one. Look, you know, you mentioned about Scotland. This is the second favourite opponents, San Marino being the favourite opponents. As you say, 100% record against Cyprus. I think they'll go into it fairly confidently. We'll see, you know, we'll see what happens with them. But I think, you know, they've got a good chance. I'm not going to go with what Derek thinks. I don't think Cyprus will win this. I don't think there's a... You know, any reason to think Cyprus have got a pretty poor record at home. You look at the early goals as well, and I was looking at their home games. They conceded in the ninth goal and the ninth minute and the 10th minute against Belgium and Russia, fair enough you'd say. Conceded in the 2nd minute against Kazakhstan in a draw. So I was looking at Scotland to get on the score sheet early if they do go out there. Just a bit of a quirky one. Scotland to score first up to and including the 30th minute is around 23-10. So you get a decent enough price out of that. And it's, you know, there's a bit of form for that. Scotland scored very early against San Marino as well. So if we were looking at that as a bit of collateral form, San Marino and Cyprus, then I think, you know, I think Scotland will win this. I think they'll get on the score sheet early as well.
Okay, Scotland to win the game. My best bet here is John McGinn to score any time. I like the price. Yeah. He's scored 4 goals in qualifying already. I've been impressed with him for Villa this season, so I'm going with John McGinn as my best bet to score any time in the match.
Yeah, no, I can see that, and I think there'll be goals. So I think, you know, picking out a goal scorer is a good way in there. I think Scotland will win this. I'm fairly confident that Scotland will win. I think Cyprus will score. I think, you know, the Scotland to win and both teams to score is a way in. If you want a little bit more insurance with that, and you do fancy Scotland to win and over 2.5 goals could be a way as well. It's a decent enough price, but I'm just going to go for a simple one here. I think it'll be a fairly open game. I think Scotland will win, but Cyprus will have a right go. I'm going for over 2.5 goals in the match as my main bet.
Okay, over 2.5 goals, and have a look at Scotland to win and both teams to score in that one, as well as Scotland travel to Cyprus.
Are you using your daily bet boost? If not, why not? If you're placing an ACCA with 3 or more selections, all you have to do is tap the black and yellow button on your bet slip and watch the price grow. It's William Hill's biggest ever bet boost. Use yours today.
On to Azerbaijan versus Wales then. This is a 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Azerbaijan are 6-1 to win the game. They draw 3-1. Wales in the betting at 1-2. And Wales still have a possibility of qualification. They've got to win this game, and then they've got to beat Hungary in their next match. But they should win this game. I mean, Azerbaijan have only picked up 1 point in qualifying so far.
Yeah, no, I think definitely should win it. And I think you mentioned the Hungary game. Hungary, having played a game more, they're above them in the table, but Wales have got it all in their hand here. You know, you're playing Hungary at home. I think, you know, they've got a great opportunity here, DK. And I think they'll go on and take it, to be honest with you. Fascinating game. But because they have to win both, I don't think there's going to be any kind of weakening down here.
No, I think
the best players have to play. You know, and obviously that includes Bale. He's always part of your bets. You know, you look at the enhanced odds, you look at any special offers, he'll be involved. He has to be involved. Now, he hasn't been playing for his club. He's been injured, hasn't he? But, I mean, I think Wales would play him whatever, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they just play him? If he had a broken leg, they'd play him, wouldn't they?
They've got him and they've got Aaron Ramsey coming back. It's just going to be his first international in this qualification campaign. I think with Gareth Bale, it's funny, isn't it? Because obviously the Madrid newspapers have picked up on him being relaxed in training when he's not played for Real Madrid for a month. There's going to be banners in the stadium listing his rankings in terms of, like, listen, Wales is at the top. Golf is second, Real Madrid third. Which is fair enough. But he's obviously fallen out with Zinedine Zidane. Things haven't been patched up in that regard. And Gareth Bale loves playing for his country. Yeah. He's got an amazing record for Wales. Under Ryan Giggs, he's scored 7 goals in 11 games. And yeah, I think if you're having a bet on this match, your bet's got to involve Gareth Bale.
Yeah, scored the winner in the reverse fixture against us. And they struggled a little bit in that game, to be fair. You know, it wasn't an easy game. It was only 2-1. So, you know, let's not make out this is going to be a walk in the park for Wales. But yeah, I get why he has to be in the betting. If you're just looking at him from, you know, just backing him to score any time or first.
That's evens, by the way.
It's skinny,
evens,
isn't it?
But, you know, evens is fair, though, I think.
It's all right,
as well.
Yeah. But I like Ramsey.
Yeah,
I do like Ramsey playing really well for Juve. He scored in the Champions League for them. I don't know if you saw that goal, but he nicked Cristiano Ronaldo's record-breaking goal. Nicked it off him. The look that Ronaldo gives Ramsey is sensational. But Ramsey's around 5-2 to score any time here. I think that's a decent bet. He's already scored twice for Juve, including that Champions League game. Scored in his debut for them as well. Playing well, getting good raps in the Italian papers. So I'd be looking at Ramsey here at 5-2 to get on the score sheet.
Okay. My bet here has to be Bale to score any time in a Wales win. It's very much unoriginal, but I'm going with it. Bale to score and Wales to win.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fair enough. Wouldn't put anyone off that.
Yeah.
I do like Ramsey to get on the score sheet. But I think Wales have to win this. I think they will win this. But Azerbaijan do score goals at home. Mm. So don't count them out. Don't think they're just going to lie down here. Wales will win this, but I think both teams will score. And I think you're getting a very nice price about the Wales win and both teams to score here against Azerbaijan.
Okay, that's the bet. Wales to win and both teams to score now. Let's hear from Robbie Savage, who's talking about the title race. He thinks it might be done and dusted.
Done, dusted. It's over, I said at the weekend. Give Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool their first Premier League title. And here's why. Liverpool 34 points, 8 points clear of Leicester and Chelsea. But realistically, 9 points clear of their biggest rivals, City, on 25 points. If City win 25 out of the remaining 26 games, that takes them onto 100 points. So that means they can lose just one. If Liverpool have the same form in their last 26 games this year than they did last, they took 67 points out of a possible 78, dropping just 11. That will take them onto 101 points. Unbeaten at home in the Premier League since April 2017. That's 900 days. The last defeat came against Man City. That was in January, 29 games ago. At this stage of the season, in their last 9 seasons, the team that's been top have gone on to win it 5 times. City, twice after 12 games, have had 34 points. They won it on both occasions. It's Liverpool's for the taking. Give it Jurgen Klopp now. Liverpool to win the Premier League.
I like that piece from Robbie because basically I agree with him.
Oh, really? Yeah, if he's getting paid by the word, he's doing all right. How many words are he getting there? I was like, wait.
Lots of stats there.
There was a lot
he's
of
a fan of a stat, isn't he?
Like a stat, yeah.
I agree with him. There's 9 points gap between Liverpool and City now. Liverpool are 2-5 to win the title. Man City 9-4, 33-1, and bigger the rest.
I think it's just too early. I get it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say they're not going to win the title, obviously, but I think it's very early. You know, they're a very, very good side, obviously. You know, you can't see them losing. And I always look at these things as, let's say City win every single game. That means Liverpool have to lose games. And you can't see them losing that many games or drawing enough to give City...
So you do agree with them then?
I kind of agree, but in a betting context, okay. I can't be having it. You know, if I was backing anyone, I'd be backing City here. I just think it's too early to be saying it's an absolute 100% definite.
Okay.
You know? Come back in January. When's the next international break?
March is the next international break.
In March.
We'll resurrect this piece. let's talk about Northern Ireland versus Holland then. This is the last of the Home Nations games this weekend. Northern Ireland 7-1 to win the game. They draw 7-2. Holland 2-5. They've been fantastic in this campaign, haven't they, Northern Ireland? To pick up 12 points from 6 games in this group. Went away to the Czech Republic and won 3-2. Whatever happens... Northern Ireland have done... This sounds so patronising, doesn't it? But whatever happens, Northern Ireland have done well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And they've got a history of doing that. You know, in previous qualification campaigns, Windsor Park will be absolutely rocking.
Yeah.
The only problem we've got here is that Michael O'Neill suddenly, you know, he's manager of Stoke as well now. And, you know, you look at, you know, the interviews with Johnny Evans, he's come out and said, I'm confused as to what's going on here.
Yeah.
Which can't be good, can it? You know, he got a great first result with Stoke. And then he comes back. His focus can't have just been on Northern Ireland, can't just be on Stoke either. I think what they're saying is Northern Ireland at the moment, before we go into the weekend, are in a position for the playoffs. There's a lot to happen before the playoffs are decided, but they're in a position where they could go in the playoffs. What Johnny Evans is saying is, who will be in charge of us in March then? What if we qualify? Who's in charge of us then? It's like, so there's a bit of an unknown there. I don't think it'll impact them too much. I think they'll go out there and give a really good account of themselves as usual. Look, they need to, you know, they need to win this game, I think. You know, look at Holland, right? They've got this game, they're playing really well.
They've
got Estonia last game up. Estonia are terrible. So Holland will definitely win their last game. I think Holland could just go into this game and just go for it, you know, play with freedom. I think they'll score lots of goals. Unfortunately for Northern Ireland, it's one of those where do you stick or twist, DK? If you try and play defensively and tight, I think Holland will get you anyway. If you try and play openly, they will definitely get you. So I think Holland will go for it. I think Northern Ireland will try and keep it tight. But I think in the end, the likes of Memphis Depay and and you know, and Wijnaldum as well. We'll talk about him in a minute. You know, a really good. You know, Ronald Koeman's got them going, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. They've had a fantastic campaign, the Dutch. And you mentioned Memphis Depay. I talk about every time we do an international break and talk about Holland. He looks like a completely different player now, Memphis Depay, to the one that he looked at Manchester United.
Yeah.
I think at Manchester United, he was just too young still, and they've had a habit in the last decade, Manchester United, of discarding young players when they've not lived up to expectations immediately. And that's what's happened with Depay. I think Depay would make a serious impact if he returned to Manchester United now. And yeah, for him to score in the game, it's 21-20, which looks fair. He's 3-1 to score first in the match. And you mentioned Gini Wijnaldum as well. You're getting a good price on him to score anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Depay's got 18-7 for club and country, which is a fantastic record. Scored two in this reverse fixture. He was the man who, you know, kind of who basically won them the game effectively, scoring the first of those goals in the 80th minute. Wijnaldum, he's got four in three away games. They've scored so many goals away from home, including all those goals in Germany as well. I mean, it's unbelievable. You look at the kind of the quality that he's bringing out of these guys. Incidentally, if you're listening on the podcast, you need to watch on YouTube, because I'm saying that Koeman's had a bit of work, doesn't he?
You think so?
Look, how is he so smooth? Why is he pouncing? Maybe we just picked a bad picture of him.
He looks a little bit like John Voight there, I think.
He does look a bit like John Voight. Yeah, you're right, actually. He's got them playing really well. You know, it wasn't long ago we were saying what's happened to Holland, and now they're playing really, really well. I think they'll win this game, win it comfortably, and it's just a case of picking your goal scorer.
You know what? We disagree here. I know that you fancy Holland to win. Mm. I think this could end up all square. I'm going with the draw here. Yeah, I fancy the draw in this game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I mean, I don't think...
I like Northern Ireland at Windsor Park. I think they keep it very tight. I'm going with the draw.
Interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. You're right. And it'll be an unbelievable atmosphere. I just think that they've got to go for it. The reason I'm thinking that Holland will get the better of them in the end is that Northern Ireland will have to try and win this game, I think. So I'm going for Holland to win this. I think there'll be goals in the game. I think most of them will come from the Dutch, unfortunately for the Northern Irish. But I'm looking at goal scorers. I think Depay is in unbelievable form for club and country.
Yeah.
I think at the price, he's well worth backing any time.
Yeah.
I like Georgie Wijnaldum though. I mean, I think, you know, he's got it's a much bigger price than Depay. I think he's got a great chance of scoring here. I think there will be goals. His record away from home has been really good so far. So for me, take either one of those, Depay or Wijnaldum. For me, it's Wijnaldum to score anytime.
Okay, Wijnaldum to get on the score sheet anytime for Lee in that one. Let's hear from the Football League chaps. They're going to give their best bets, and Al Ross, unfortunately, is narrowing that gap.
Yeah, we'll see in a minute, won't we?
We'll see in a second.
Well, with no championship this weekend, I get to look where I want, and I'm looking at Gillingham at 27-20. I think this price is very big at the Priestfield. Lincoln haven't won away from home since their first away game of the season, and while Gillingham's home form hasn't been remarkable of late, two wins and three losses in the last five at home, I still think their form is good enough, because those losses, Ipswich, Peterborough and Rotherham, are not bad losses at all. I think the price is too big. 27-20 for me for Gillingham is the way to go this weekend.
Two of the bottom three going head-to-head in League One this weekend, and I'm fancying the home side to come out on top of this one. Bolton, my nap at 31-20 to beat MK Dons. Bolton have turned a bit of a corner, winning the last two games in League One, 6 points out of six. Confidence returning a little bit to the Wanderers. MK Dons have got 1 point from 15 available, four defeats in five, and four straight defeats on their travels. Basement battle in League One, and backing Bolton to win it 31-20.
Not a huge number of games that scream value in League Two this week, but Port Vale to beat Carlisle at home is one of those. Port Vale unbeaten at home, Carlisle have lost five out of eight away, and Port Vale 11 points from their last six games, Carlisle just the four, so 10-11, that's kind of fine. But Port Vale have been level at half-time in a staggering 14 of their 17 League Two fixtures this season. That figure for Carlisle is around 50%. So I have to be greedy, ignore the 10-11, and go for the double result. Draw half-time, Port Vale full-time, 18-5.
I'm suddenly not liking the look of that. Mm. It's getting close to the top of the table now.
I love the WhatsApp group.
Oh, it's Al's fantastic,
just
isn't
so
it?
Smug,
yeah.
He's so brilliantly smug.
Yeah.
And he's just chipping
He's smugging those pieces as well, though. It just comes through, doesn't it?
It's
really
brilliant.
Transmits
I love it.
Through the screen.
Absolutely love it. And he's just waiting. It literally, as soon as your nap didn't land last weekend. Yeah. He was on within seconds. As soon as half-time struck.
Oh, well, it got to the 40th minute and they were clinging on last week, Villa.
Yeah.
And Wolves, you just felt it coming and then Neves got it at the
end
of the box.
Half-time, full-time Wolves.
Yeah. And Wolves would have won that match. Yeah. If hold on till half-time, Villa.
It's getting closer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with John McGinn anytime. Yeah. 14-5. Just because of his record in the qualification campaign so far for Scotland and the way he's performed for Villa this season. So McGinn's got to take it on his shoulders this week as well because of all the injuries Scotland have got. So I'm going, McGinn anytime.
Yeah, I like that. I think Scotland will score some goals in Cyprus. Pete Farris is doing well as well. Just about to tip over onto the 60 quid mark, decent Gillingham. Alex is doing all right. Yeah. He's not doing bad, but his naps are so short.
Yeah, he keeps getting the winners in, doesn't he?
It's about £3 every time. these two. Gav's dropping like a stone. Interesting.
He's upset though, isn't he? He's upset on the WhatsApp.
And Derek. Yeah, that one good bet, didn't he?
Yeah, that was really nice though, that bet. We'll remember him for that bet. Won't
we will do for the rest of the season.
There you go. Those are the naps for this week. Lee, it's been a pleasure again.
Always good.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and either watched or listened to The Punt. Make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And we will be back for some Premier League action next weekend.